Let's talk about two things that he did and he did well. One was, of course, medical translate readings or reports. And then, you know, he talked about world events and earth changes. His accuracy on the medical end was pretty high, wasn't it?
Right. In fact, when they were able to follow up, and even years later, some independent physicians did a survey, several surveys, that they estimate that he had better than a 93% accuracy rate.
That's huge.
And
it doesn't get any better than that.
The interesting thing is some physicians have even stated that very often if you go into a doctor's office and talk about symptoms, a physician doesn't even have a 93% accuracy rate in terms of telling you what's really wrong and how to get well. And that somehow Casey's mind could tune into people at a distance, outline a regimen of treatment, sometimes even recommend doctors that they could go to in their area that he had no conscious knowledge of.
So he didn't leave you hanging. He talked about what he believed you had, what the ailment was, and also what you could do to try to tackle it.
Right, and woven in with that, very often he told you why you had gotten sick in the first place, what had really predicated the problem to happen. And the interesting thing about that is, let's just imagine that he gave readings to several hundred people with arthritis. He may have told those individuals to do perhaps 9, 10, 11 things each. Today, there are doctors and individuals working with the Casey Information on health, and they'll look at those things for arthritis and say, you know, of those things he suggested, 9 of them are identical in every reading. If we try those 9 today, what's the result? And very often, people like myself working with allergies have gotten physical help from Casey's readings, even though he died in 1945.
Because, you know, I know there's a company that has worked with ARE, taking the Casey formulas, basically, and they've tried to create some pretty good products
tied into some
of these. But you could also probably, I would assume, you know, if you're a member of ARE and you buy some of the information, because it comes in book form, you can download information. I assume it's got, you know, the formula there, where if you want to go to your own store and pick up some of these very simple items, you can do that, right?
You can, absolutely. In fact, you don't even have to be a member for many of these. You just go to our website, edgarcasey.org, and you can look up an illness, whether it's arthritis or psoriasis or angina or whatever it might be. And Casey, we have many of the Casey protocols on health, some of the treatment overviews that you can just look at regardless of whether or not you're a member.
One of the things that he said, which I do pretty religiously, I miss a day or so, is he said eat about 3 almonds a day.
He did. He suggested long before there was any thought of whether or not Laetrile might help cancer that if you ate 3 almonds a day, you really help your body not be prone to cancer.
And these are the non-salty type, right?
Well, I have to admit I throw in some salty ones now and then because they taste better. But
it doesn't matter, but the non-salty are a little better for you when you get up in my age.
Right, absolutely. The non-salty ones are better for you.
Now, let's talk about his trance state.
How he went through it.
How he went through it. Who was he communicating with, or was it just him? What was going on here? And what happened to him as a little boy, Kevin, for him to get this gift?
Well, let's start at the...
At the beginning.
At the beginning. When he was about 9 years old, he had an experience where he was hit in the head with a baseball, and he basically felt funny after that and almost somewhat semi-comatose. He went home, he was laying in bed, and he was in bed for over almost a whole day, and his family was kind of concerned. And then while in that bed, he started talking about how he'd gotten ill, basically, and how he could get well, and I think he recommended it, some kind of a compress. And they tried that, and he got up and around, and he was fine. So that basically was probably the first minor experience with giving a reading. And then it wasn't really until he was about 23 that the second reading occurred, which we actually call the first because it was the real McCoy. And what had happened was he was working for his father, who sold insurance and basically stationary, insurance and stationary, door to door. He went into business with his father so he could earn enough money to get married to his girlfriend. And on one occasion he had a headache and he took some kind of a sedative the doctor had recommended, and he woke up the next day and he had laryngitis. Well, nobody panics if you have laryngitis. It eventually leaves. But his laryngitis persisted for days, and then days turned into weeks, and then the weeks started turning into months, and no doctors could help him. The first thing that happened was if you're a traveling salesperson and you have laryngitis, pretty soon you're out of a job. So
that's true.
He became a professional photographer, and he actually became an award-winning photographer, and we have many of his pictures even now in Virginia Beach. And that went on for almost a year. And then on one occasion, he was living in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. There was a visiting hypnotist that was coming to town for these stage shows that they used to do at the turn of the century. And some of Casey's friends volunteered him to go up on stage, raised his hand, so to speak. And he went up there figuring, well, I'm not going to be any good. I can't speak. And the hypnotist hypnotized him. And while under hypnosis, Casey spoke normally. And so somebody else in his group of friends suggested, you know, let's try something. So they had Casey put himself to sleep, and while asleep, later on they said, well, what's wrong with you? And he described what was wrong and how he could get well. And there was a chiropractor who had helped facilitate this first reading. He decided, you know, if Casey can do this for himself, maybe he can do it for other people. So he started getting other people he knew of who had problems, and Casey would put himself to sleep. He'd be given the name and address of the individual. When Casey gave a reading, basically he just lay down on a couch, loosen his tie, fold his hands on his stomach, begin to pray. And later he would say that, you know, when he saw a flash of light, his eyes would kind of do a little rapid eye movement, and then the person who was sitting next to him was supposed to give him the suggestion. You'll locate so-and-so who is at this place at this time. Go over the person, describe what's wrong with them and how they can get well. And he was able to do that. And that really is how the readings began in 1901.
Well, now, prior to that reading, when he was going through this evolution, was he aware of this gift that he had?
He had some very definite psychic experiences that at first his family just attributed to an overactive imagination. One of those was he claimed that he could see dead people, that like the little boy in the movie, I see dead people. He could see deceased relatives especially, and they just thought that was his imagination. And then when he was in the eighth grade, he was not a very good student, but he accidentally fell asleep on a school book when he was supposed to be studying it, and his father got very irritated with him, woke him up, and found that Edgar Casey had memorized the contents of the book by sleeping on it. And not just memorized it, but his father could call out a page, and Casey could say verbatim everything on that page.
Which is remarkable.
I've actually tried that, sleeping on a book, and it did absolutely nothing for me, but other than give me a
headache. Except gave you a headache and a stiff neck.